Well, good evening, church. It's a blessing to be with you all tonight. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord allowing me to travel in today from my home in McEwen, Tennessee. And I thank you and thank the church, thank your pastor for all your prayers and your monthly support to keep me in prison. On my newsletter, if you'll read my newsletter every 2 months, I put on there, without you, I could not stay in prison. And my wife likes for me to stay in prison, amen? But I do thank you seriously for your prayers and your monthly support that you have been supporting me and my family approximately probably now 13 or 14 years. I've been with the Rock of Ages a little over 15 years. And then my sending church is Rome Baptist Temple in Rome, Georgia. My pastor is Dr. Billy Gooseby, and he's been my pastor 26 years, and me and my family have been members there, and tithing members, not just members, but tithing members for 27 years. And then I have been with the Rock of Ages a little over 15 years now, and then when I came here, Dr. Gene Lashley was a pastor, which is a great, great man. Him and Sister Lashley, I count it an honor to know them. I came here to share my burden several years ago, and at that time I lived in Rome, Georgia, where I was born, where I was reared at. 48 years I lived there, and I preached with the Rock of Ages in 48 different states at that time. And my wife and myself, we have 4 boys. I have some prayer cards. I count it an honor if you'll take one of my prayer cards. I hope I've got enough to go around. Take one of our prayer cards and pray for us. We need your prayers. I began to think when we stepped out on faith to go to the Rock of Ages full time, me and my wife and the boys, we had 4 boys, I had $297 a month coming in. Well, I got to thinking my four boys can eat up $297 in 2 weeks. I stepped out on faith. God gave me liberty to leave my public job and go with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And how that I can stand and say tonight that God had been faithful to me and my family. God had been faithful, Brother Harrison, to take care of me and my family. And I was preaching on the road in 48 different states. I did that for 4.5 years. Had a van, had 287,000 miles on it when I got rid of it. Got $1,000 for it, and I was thankful to get that. And then we bought another vehicle, and I had $325,000 on it when I got rid of it. I can't tell you how many miles I put on myself, but I can't a vehicle. But I'm thankful tonight that God is still in the saving business. These men in prison, these women in prison, these young boys and girls, and the detention centers, they have a soul. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ just like you and I do. We all can sit here tonight and say it's just by God's grace that we're not consumed tonight. All of us here tonight are sinners just saved by the grace of God. None of us is any better than anyone else. We all are made out of dirt. But the thing about it is, those men in prison, those women in prison, those young boys and girls in the detention centers, sin is what put them in prison. You may be here tonight. You may not be behind bars as these men are and these women are and these young boys and girls, but you may be here tonight and you may be in sin and sin may have you locked in. Kind of like the Titanic. They did not know all the water was in the bottom of that ship until it overtook them. And that's the way sin is. Sin will overtake you and I before we ever know it. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And I began to have the burden through my local church. For 13 years I did the jail ministry out of my church, and then I went with the Rock of Ages. And the Lord gave me a verse when I first came with the ministry, when Dr. Ron Garrett was our president at that time. He's going to be with the Lord now. He was a general of the Rock of Ages. And he asked me when I first submitted an application with the Rock of Ages, he said, Brother Jenkins, do you have a scripture verse that the Lord gave you to come with a ministry. We had to have a verse. We just couldn't come on our own. So, well, I want to come to the Rock of Ages because I want to go to prison. No, we had to have a verse and had to have a burden upon our heart. God gave me Psalm 49, verse 8, where the Bible says, "For the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceases forever." That man in prison, that woman in prison, that young boy and girl in the detention center, the man in the military, they all have a soul and they need to be saved. And I'm thankful tonight for your pastor, Dr. Jody Jenkins. I'm thankful tonight for Brother Seaman and his dear wife taking the time out for taking me to supper tonight, and appreciate the fellowship that we had. But I want to thank you tonight for letting me come and give you an update on what the Lord is doing in the life of those men in my prison at Turner Center Prison. When I was here before, I lived in Rome, Georgia, and I began to pray after 4.5 years, "Lord, would you give me a prison of my own that I can go in there and win those men to Christ and then disciple them in the Word of God?" You know, there's a lot of folks get saved, but you got to be discipled after you get saved. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:2, "A newborn babe desire the sincere word of the milk, that you may grow thereby." You can belong to a good church, and I think Buffalo Ridge is a wonderful church. You can belong to this church and be a member here all your life, but if you never stir the Word of God, you'll always be a baby in Christ. You'll never grow. And that's why so many people get out of church, go to different churches. They're here 1 week, maybe go somewhere else another week, come back, because they've never been discipled in the Word of God. And I'm thankful tonight that you do have a pastor, you do have teachers here, disciples you and others in the Word of God when you get saved. But I began to pray, "Lord, would you give me that prison so I can go in there and disciple those men after they get saved?" Well, I remember when I went to Turner Center Prison in Olney, Tennessee. You say, "Where's Olney, Tennessee?" It is in Olney because there's nothing there. There was a post office, but there's nothing there now. But a prison and one church is the only thing there. Interstate 40 West, like you go into Memphis, at exit 148 is where the prison. The prison is 50 minutes from my home through the country, but you go to interstate, it's about an hour and a half. But I began to pray, "Lord, would you give me that prison so I can go in there and lead those men to Christ, show them from the King James Bible how they must be saved, not tell them, but show them according to the Scripture." And I remember when I went to Turner Center in the year of 2000, had no intention of ever going there again, but I was on the revival team at that time, and I was on the schedule to go there. And I remember the chaplain there, Lynn Walker, was probably the only chaplain I ever knew that was state paid that was a born-again Christian that loved God. Now, I worked with a lot of chaplains in prisons, but so many of them there because of the job and the benefits. The only benefit that I have is when I get to heaven, I pray that God will give me a soul winner crown. That's the benefit I have. I don't have a 401k. I don't have all the retirement that the state chaplain has. Now, I'm not saying anything disgruntled against them, but I'm saying tonight I'm there to win these men in my prison to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went there, and I remember Chaplain Walker asked me, "Did I bring any clothes?" He said, "I believe the Lord wants you to come here as a Rock of Ages chaplain because these men love you and care about you." I said, "Well, I'd love to come." But I said, "The Lord hadn't spoke to me. He may have spoke to you, but he hadn't spoke to me. So I'll need to wait till he speak to me before I make a move." Sometimes, isn't it strange how others tells you what the Lord wants you to do, but the Lord don't ever tell you. I tell you, when they do that, I don't ever move. I just stay still and wait on the Lord, because you'll get into trouble if you move too quick. But I told him, I said, "I'll pray about it." And I said, "But you got to realize I live in Rome, Georgia. This is only Tennessee, and I can't come." He said, "Would you pray?" I said, "Yes, sir, I'll pray." I went down Highway 50 and hit Interstate 40 going back towards Nashville. I quit praying. I wasn't interested in going to that prison, Brother Harrison. I was interested in going to 48 different states and preaching and winning men to the Lord. and moving on to another prison. Well, by a coincidence, God put me back on the team that November of the following year, and the same question was asked, would I come there and help those men in the Word of God? I said, well, I will pray. And I got a little more serious about praying because some of the men in a prison setting, and I'm thankful that you all have some brothers here that goes in Mountain City. That's where I'm going tomorrow for 3 days up there with a team to have a revival at Mountain City. But I'm thankful that you have a burden to reach those that are lost regardless of where they may be. And I did pray about going to Turning Center Prison. And I said, Lord, if you give me liberty to go there, I don't have any problem going. I want to go wherever you want me to go. But I want to go and I want to be in the will of God when I go. You know, it's easy to move out of the will of God if we're not very careful. And that's why we get into trouble when we move out of the will of God. But I began to pray for a year. And I talked to Dr. Garris about it and talked to my pastor, Dr. Goosby, about it. And I went there on a survey trip. I stayed at Bucks North, Tennessee in a motel there for 6 months. Buffalo Ridge and other churches helped me pay that motel bill because I didn't have the money. I just had $297 coming in at that present time. And other churches helped me. And I stayed there. I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, leave my home, and I'd go to the prison on Monday. And then I'd stay in that motel till Friday at 12 o'clock, and then I'd leave and go back home. Well, I did that for 6 months, and I said, well, I can't continue coming back and forth because over Monte Eagle Mountain, I burnt my transmission up and tore a converter twice. I said, well, I can't do that. So I began to pray and asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? Which way would you have me to go? I want to be in the center of your will, be in the perfect will of God. And God gave me liberty to go to Turning Center Prison. I said, Lord, I go, but we need to sell our home at that time. We lived in a double-wide mobile home in Rome, Georgia. I support 4 missionaries myself this day, and I did back those days. I supported 2. And I said, Lord, if you'll help us sell our home, we'll move and work in that prison. Well, I had to confer my wife and my boys because, you know, without a wife, you don't have a ministry. And them boys was in school. 2 of my boys was, so I had to tell those boys, we'll have to uproot and you'll have to make new friends, so everybody needs to be in harmony and unity. So we all began to pray about it, and the boys was okay with it. My wife said, I'll go wherever you go, as long as you're in the will of God and follow God, I'll go where you go. And I'm thankful that I have a wife like that. So we sold our home the very last day. I didn't think it was going to sell the very last day. 30-day contract was just about up, and we had 2 buyers the same day. I didn't care who bought it, just whoever had the money. It was fine with me. So I sold it. And I remember I looked at a house there in McEwen, Tennessee. I was paying $300 a month where I was living at. I looked at a house there. The deputy warden there at that time was our deputy warden. He said, my mother-in-law and dad-in-law said they build houses. Said, I can get you a house and get you a good price on one. I said, well, it'll have to be a good price if I get one because I don't have a whole lot of money. Well, I looked at a house, and the lady showed it to me. She said, I'll let you have this house for $5,000 cheaper than I let anybody else have it. I said, that's wonderful that you'll do that. But I said, I'll have to see how much the payment will be before I can make any commitment. And we went and talked to the banker and tried to find out how much the payment was going to be. And the payment was $546. And I said, I can't pay that. That's more money than I got. I can't pay that. And the lady said, well, just get your stuff, preacher, and come on. And said, we'll work things out. I said, no, I can't do that. My furniture goes to moving every time a new haul passes. I said, I can't have that to happen. I've got to have a place secure because I'm too old to move furniture. So we began to pray about it, and the house never did sell. And the lady called me and said, come and let's talk about the house. And said, I may do a little bit better. So we did, and she knocked some more off of it. And I said, I can't pay the payment. So we left there and went back home. And we began to pray, Lord, if you want us to go and move, then you'll have to help us with the finances. We don't have the money. Now, remember when I went to the bank, I remember before we ever got there, the Lord said, you sign the note and I'll pay the payment. Don't nobody go out and buy a Mercedes-Benz or anything tomorrow and say, well, Brother Jenkins said the Lord take care of it, because I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what the Lord did for me. And we've been there 11 years in that house. The Lord paid every payment. We've raised some more support since then. But the Lord paid every payment before it was ever due. And I simply believe the reason that happened is because I am in the center of God's will and doing what God wants me to do. You know, God will make a way. God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm telling you, we can't outgive God. There's no way. God said, I'll double dog dare you to try to outgive me. He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings that you'd not be able to contain. We'll never be able to exalt or outgive God. So for 12 years, I worked at prison every day, 1,600 men there. There's 95 steps going in that prison. Everything in unit 1 and 2 is on a hill, 3 and 4 is in a valley. Lockdown unit 5 is on top of another hill. So I worked at prison every day. I raised money to buy King James Bibles to give those men. I give them writing paper. I give them envelopes. I give them 2 stamps a month. If I check their inmate trust fund and I see they don't have any money for 30 days in their account, then I'll give them 2 stamps. And you know, tonight, you got to realize tonight, church, and some of you may know this, but you got to know what makes those men in prison. You got to have the key that unlocks their heart. And I tell you, the key that unlocks their heart is to show them that you love them and care about them. Because I felt like all along, 27 years that I've been going to jail and prisons, if we'll show them that we have compassion, then we can win them to the Lord. I'm not there interested in what they did to get in prison. I'm not there to get them out. I'm there to keep them out of hell if I possibly can. And that's why that I tell those men, I have 81 last night. Every Tuesday night I preach. Had 81 in the service last night. When I went there, I had 12 men because there was a lot of racial issues. But I began to pray and show those black men that God loves them. Just as he loves you and I, he'll save them if they'll come to him. It took me 2 years to win one black man to the Lord in that prison. He's out today, got a good job, got his wife back, doing good. This past Sunday, I've come through Georgia where I was preaching, and I met a man that was my clerk that spent 26 years in prison. I met him there in Nashville, him and his wife, and he told how that I was a blessing to him. And nobody took the time to care about him. But we got to realize tonight, church, those men in prison, so many of them in prison has never, never had the opportunity to hear about the Lord or be took to church like you and I have. That's why that they're in the street. That's why they're doing dope. That's why they're in meth. That's why they're robbing and killing and doing all ungodly wickedness, is because they're lost and undone without the Lord. And they need to be saved. No, I can't save all 1,600 of them, because a great number of them are saved. But the thing about it is, if I go to Turning Center Prison, and when I do go, I pray every day that I go through the country, Lord, let me lead somebody to the Lord today. Today, if it's just one soul, let me win that one individual. I have 7 or 8 saved each month through repentance from the Word of God. Those men that are there, I have 549 enrolled in the Rock of Ages Bible study. My clerk does all the grading, every man that gets through. Then I give him a small certificate showing what text that he has completed and the percentage that he made. And when he completes the Rock of Ages Bible course, which is a 2-year course to some of those men, then I give them a Rock of Ages King James Study Bible. I buy those Bibles from the Rock of Ages ministry. I bought $800 worth back in March of this year that some churches helped me buy those Bibles, and I put the church's name and the pastor's name in that church because I want them to know, hey, there's somebody out there in these churches that loves you and wants to be a help to you. But I begin to think, you know, without Buffalo Ridge and each one of you having a burden for those that are lost. There'll be a lot of folk in prison that'll never get saved. 32,089 got saved in the year 2011 through the work of the Rock of Ages. The Rock of Ages didn't do the saving. We're just a mailman delivering a message for God to those men and women in prison. But each and every one of you here at Buffalo Ridge had a part in seeing those souls saved. And I begin to think tonight, without you and without other churches, that it would be impossible for me and other missionaries with our ministry to go into prison and try to win those men to Christ. So thank you for allowing me to be one of your missionaries. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your prayers. Because I'm telling you, those men in prison, that is somebody's son, that's somebody's husband, that's somebody's daughter, and that's somebody's wife that we're ministering to. If it was your boy or girl in prison, your grandboy or granddaughter, and you knew they was lost, I'm sure that you'd want someone to go in prison and try to win them before it's eternal too late. And I begin to think tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at John chapter 15. I won't keep you long. I'm just thought about here tonight what is on my heart. I'll try to be brief. I'll try to be through. But I just want to say here tonight, each and every one of us here tonight, you may not be with the Rock of Ages, you may not be with a mission board, and you may be with a mission board. But whether or not you're with a mission board or not, each and every one of us here tonight is a missionary, because when you go out those doors tonight, you're going into a mission field. You and I know someone that's lost tonight. It may be a loved one. It may be a workmate. It may be a schoolmate. It may be someone next door neighbor. But I'm saying tonight that we need to pray for God to give us a burden to reach the lost wherever they may be. The Bible said in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision that the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law. God help us to have a greater vision for those that are lost. I thought about John chapter 15 and verse 1. The Bible said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. I want to talk to you just for a few moments on abiding in Jesus Christ. I thought about here tonight that I'm interested in that word, abide. The abiding doesn't come before salvation, it comes after salvation. The word abide means to continue, to remain, and our salvation is us coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as our personal Savior. Abiding with him and remaining with him and doing what he wants us to do, and to be blessed, we have to abide in the Lord. We have to dwell with him. I don't know that God wants us to come to him. I believe that he wants us to come to him just maybe for more than salvation, that he wants us to come to him and abide in him first of all. I thought about tonight three things briefly that proved in these verses that we must abide in as a child of God. Verse 2 said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth not fruit, he purged it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I thought about some knockout roses that I planted in our yard. I thought about several times those have grown larger than I want them to grow. So I pruned them back and took some of the branches off of them, and they become smaller, but the following year when they begin to bloom again, there's more blooms on there then than there was a year before I trimmed them. And I thought about tonight, if you've got a fruit tree and you prune that fruit tree and you trim it back, the following year, you're looking to have more fruit. And here we see tonight, the Bible says there are more fruit. And then in verse 5, it says much fruit. And this much fruit is what produces glory to God. Look at verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, if bearing fruit is dependent on our abiding with Christ, then if that is what brings a fruit bearing in our lives, then it ought to tell us whether or not that we are abiding. That we're abiding in him like he wants us to. And if we don't have the proper fruit in our lives, then that ought to tell us that we're not bearing in the Lord like he wants us to bear him. And you know, that kind of draws the line pretty tight on us. And he said, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So to us, God wants us to abide in him, that we might be fruit bearers and produce fruit as a child of God. So it's important that we abide in him. If we're going to be fruitful in the Lord and in the Lord's work, we have to have that proper testimony in our life that we are abiding in Christ. You know, a lot of folk think, well, when I get saved, then that's all the Lord requires. No. If the Lord just requires you and I to be saved and do nothing, then God would have took us on to heaven once he saved us. He said in 1 John that I've left you here to be a light to a lost and dying world. Oh, no, I don't know those men personally in prison. I just know what they tell me. But as I tell those men in prison, it's important for you to live close to God while you're in prison, as it is for me to live close to God in the community that I live in. And that's why tonight, each and every one of us here, you're either abiding in Christ or you're not abiding in Christ. And if you're not abiding in Christ, he says, there'll be no fruit in your life. But I notice another thing here. Not only does he talk about fruit bearing, but in the midst of this discussion about fruit bearing, he talks about how to get your prayers answered, amen. That's interesting to me that he puts that in the midst of this much fruit and more fruit. And between these two, he puts verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Notice he's still using that word abide. He's talking about abiding in him. If you're going to have your prayers answered, you got to abide in me. And then he said, my word has to abide in you, according to verse 7. You know that if we are abiding in him and his words are abiding in us, that we aren't going to ask anything that is contrary to the will of God. See, some people think, well, when I get saved and I know the Lord is my personal Savior, then I can pray and God will give me whatever I ask for. No, if God gave you and I everything that we ask for, tomorrow a lot of us would be down at the courthouse filing bankruptcy. But see, God knows what we need before we ever pray. The Bible said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's why tonight that we need to pray. And I believe that one of the weakest parts of a Christian's life is a prayer life. You know, we can pray when someone in our family is ill. We can pray when we have problems. But I wonder tonight, How many could say here tonight, and don't lift your hand, but how many could say that I pray and just give thanks unto God for what He's already done for me, and I go to Him and I pray and I say, Lord, I thank You for what You've done for me, for saving my soul and taking me off of a road going to hell and establish my goings and put my feet upon a solid rock. And I just want to come to You to this morning or tonight, and I want to thank You for all that You've already done. But you know, tonight, beloved, most of us here tonight, including myself, most of the time when we pray, we're in need of something. We're on the receiving end instead of the giving end. And I'm not trying to be ugly and unkind, but I'm saying tonight that I believe if we could spend more time in prayer and get along with God in that closet of prayer, that we could see our life would abide closer to God than it ever has before. I try to read 10 chapters a day. I try to help myself and get up at 4:30 every morning and read and pray, because I need help. I probably need more help than you do. But because I do that simply because I want to try to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. And I begin to think here tonight that we just know tonight if we're abiding or not. And that's why James had it in mind when he said in James 4:3, you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So we won't pray anything contrary to the character of the Lord if we're abiding in Him. He said in chapter 14 of John's Gospel in verse 13, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So tonight, beloved, we want our Heavenly Father to get all the glory. I don't deserve any of the glory. I want Him to have all the glory and all the honor. He said there in verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, He said, I will do it. The whole purpose of the Christian life is that the Father might be glorified in the Son. And we're praying right. We will not pray anything contrary to the character of the Lord, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. So if we abide in Him, we can be fruit-bearing Christians. And if we abide in Him, we can pray and God will hear and answer our prayer. There's no telling tonight how many testimonies here tonight that you can honestly say, I prayed for certain things in my life, or I prayed for different individuals that really need prayer and they needed help from God. They was weak and they were discouraged and they were despondent, and I prayed, and because I was abiding in Christ and I was close to God, that God did a miracle in their life. And that's why some of you are here tonight, is because God did a miracle for you. I can say tonight that all of us are miracles tonight. You know why? It's just a miracle that we're saved. We're all a miracle from God. So we see here tonight that He calls us and He tells us about bearing fruit. But you know, the greatest testimony that we can have is that we love each other. That's the greatest testimony that we can have. And if we love each other, love covers a multitude of sin. And I know why God put that in there. Love covers a multitude of sin. You know why? Because a lot of people have a multitude of sins. A lot of people have a multitude. Everybody come to church is not saved. Everybody come to church is not trying to abide in Christ. But the thing about it is, if we will show those that we're connected to and come around, and those visitors that comes in here, if you'll show your love to them and your warmth to them, I'm telling you, they'll want what you've got. I remember there in Adairsville, Georgia, last week I preached there, and a man, big old rough-looking guy, he was rough as pig iron, he come down to the altar, and he was crying, and he said, preacher, said, I want to be saved. Said, I've never been saved. Said, I don't want to die lost, unprepared to meet God. And that Wednesday night, there was another lady come down, and she said, preacher, said, I want what he has. But you know, if we'll abide in Christ and we'll pray And we'll keep our life clean before this ungodly world. People will see what you and I have, and they'll want what we got. But you know, here tonight, when we get pride lifted up, we consider ourselves better than someone else, and we're more spiritual than someone else, that we're just a little bit higher plane than someone else. That's just to show that we've gotten away from Jesus and we're not abiding in Him like we ought to and like He wants us to, because if we abide in Him, we'll realize that it's just His love and His mercy and His grace that we're not in hell tonight. Just by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, that it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created by Christ Jesus. And that's why tonight, just abide in here. He said, abide in Christ. He said, more fruit in verse 2. He said in verse 4, abide in me. And he said in verse 4, the latter part, you abide in me. He said, verse 5, more fruit. And then he said in verse 8, much fruit. But you know, tonight, in closing here, I thought about here tonight, Jude 22 says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. How much compassion do we have towards those that are lost? I tell you, there's a lot of people that are saved will not witness to those that are lost, and then they'll condemn those that are lost. But the thing about it is, the Bible says, and ye who were sometimes walking in darkness. We haven't always been close to God ourselves. We haven't always been saved ourselves. So when we see someone that's not abiding in Christ, and we see that sinner that is doing things that's ungodly, the only way we're going to win them is show them that the love of Christ lives within our heart. If we condemn them, we'll never win them. We've got to pray for them. Pray that they receive the light, that they're walking in darkness, spiritually, they're dead. But here the Bible says there in 1 John 3:23, the Bible says, and this is a commandment that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another. And he gave his commandment, love one another. What is the commandment? That you love one another like I love you. That's the commandment. When we have an unforgiving spirit and bitterness and malice in our heart towards our brother or sister in the Lord, then we can be sure that we're not doing his commandment like he told us to do, and we're to love one another, amen. So I wonder tonight, how much are you abiding in Christ tonight? Are you abiding in Him and bringing more fruit? Are you abiding in Him and bringing much fruit tonight? But you know, tonight, we all need to love one another and love above all things. He said, love one another. And we all need to be loved, and we need to love each other as God has given us a commandment, because that word, a commandment, is mean that we are in obedience to God. In obedience and not disobedient. But you know, it's hard to keep His commandments if we aren't abiding in Him. It's impossible if we're not abiding. And if we're abiding, guess what? We're going to do what our Heavenly Father says. But I notice also, if we abide in Him, we'll have fullness of joy. Verse 11 said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I won't have joy, and you won't have joy. And you know how we're going to have it? By abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. He said in John 7:17, if any man would do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or what I speak of myself. That I don't believe that God wants to hide His will from us, and I believe that God wants to make His will known to us, and I believe if we are sincere and giving ourselves to the Lord, submitting ourselves to the Lord, that we are sincere, we have no argument with God, then God wants to reveal His will to you and I, and He does that because we are abiding in Him. The next thing I notice here in closing, if we are abiding in Him, then we'll have permanent results from our service. Look at verse 16. It says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What about that word, should remain? He says, should remain there. Jesus said, I've chosen you, and the reason that I've chosen you is that you should go and bring forth fruit. Notice the next statement. He said, and that your fruit should remain. How about that? Permanent results from service as we abide in Christ and yield to him, and as we let him guide our life, and as we let him direct our path, that we have permanent results of our service and the fruit that God lets come into our life, that we'll be a permanent fruit and we'll remain for the glory of God. And that's why the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is a growing church. You know why? Because you're faithful in giving to missions. A church that is not mission-minded, God will never bless. Not simply because you support me. I thank you for your support. I need it. I really need it. But I'm saying tonight, this church has grown because you've had Pastor Dr. Gene Lashley. Now you got Dr. Jody Jenkins here that has a heart for the people. And they want to see the church grow. And you know, the pastor can't do it all. The wife can't do it all. And it takes each and every one of us abiding in Christ and showing others that we're going to bear fruit for the Lord. That's why the church has grown here tonight, because others have gave fruit, and they passed that fruit on to someone else, and this church continues to grow. God's blessed this church, and God is still blessing this church. But I wonder tonight, are you abiding today? Are you abiding in the Lord? And I wonder tonight, are you abiding in him and bringing forth fruit? How many could say, and don't lift your hand, I'm abiding in him, but I just haven't got close to the Lord like I need to get close to the Lord. You know, every day you and I have a great opportunity as we pass others in stores and Walmarts. Everybody goes to Walmart. They get their feet run over 2 or 3 times a week, but they still go back. And we never know when we're passing somebody that we don't even know. We never know if that individual is saved or lost. You know why? We're too busy. We're too busy. We don't have time to witness to them. But God help us to be a witness. And God help us to abide and have fruit and more fruit and much fruit in our life. Because I'm telling you, when we get to heaven one day, I believe God is going to judge us, because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in the Spirit that a man be found faithful. God's going to judge us on being faithful. We're faithful to a lot of things in our life, but are we faithful to God? I don't know your heart. I don't know anyone here, but I do know that we all need to abide in Christ. Draw close to God. Get along with God, and ask God to help us to bear fruit. Let us stand. I thought about coming up the road this morning when I left my home about 8:30. I thought about how that God put this message upon my heart. I just hit the highlights of it. But I thought about how many souls that we let die and go to a devil's hell simply because we don't have a vision. We don't have the burden that we need to have. And as I said earlier, each and every one of us here tonight knows somebody that's lost. All of us do. So I wonder tonight, as we have an invitation and pray, I wonder, would you be the one that want to come tonight and ask the Lord, Lord, I'm abiding, but I want to do more. I want to draw closer to you. You know, we can't get close enough to the Lord. I asked him, Lord, let me get up in your bosom and get close to you. And I'm sure you want to do that. But as we have an invitation, if you need to come and you feel like that maybe you're not abiding as close as you need to be. You're not abiding in the Lord, and you might not see any fruit in your life. You ought to come pray, ask the Lord to help you. God help us to have that vision and that burden to reach the lost. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Way, Lord, have thine own way. You come, meet with the Lord.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Have thine own way.
Are you abiding tonight?
Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway.
Are you bearing fruit for the Lord?
Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living.
About it tonight, anyone else need to come and pray?
All right, you may look this way. Thank you, Brother Jenkins, for being with us tonight. I appreciate your boldness. I tell you what, not many of us would go into a prison and witness to people for Christ. I mean, think about when you're out handing out tracts, you're going down the street and the Lord says, hey, give a tract to that guy. And you say, what? 6'5", 340 pounds? There's no way. He deals with these kind of people all the time. And I appreciate your boldness. We need to, you know, the key is so right, abide in Christ. Walk with Christ and you'll be a witness. And I appreciate Brother Jenkins. He'll be in the lobby. You can greet him there. He has his prayer card for you. You say, you know, I'd love to go knock on doors, but I just don't know where to go or when to. 6:30 tomorrow night here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You've never been with somebody before. You come, Brother Harry will get you with somebody who's been before, and we'll go out and knock on doors and try to lead folks to Christ. The opportunity is here, all right? Let me encourage you again, pray for Pastor. He'll be traveling back tomorrow and Friday, and be praying. We have a ladies' retreat Friday and Saturday. And be praying for those ladies as they travel, and the Lord will speak to their heart, and they have a blessed time together. Lord, we do thank you for the encouragement we've had tonight from your word. Lord, help us to walk with you, to abide in you, to remain in fellowship with you. And Lord, we pray that you would just use us to reach many for you. God, lead us to someone even tomorrow and Friday and Saturday that we can hand a gospel tract to, that we can invite to church, that we can invite to Christ, and help us to be soul conscious everywhere we go, that we might have opportunity to win people to you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Make sure you stop, see Brother Harrison, buy some good books. Lord bless you.